Okay. Just unless you have a very, very basic question, just understanding what I'm saying, there's a lot of good questions out there, but we're not going to have time to do everything within half an hour. We're going to try and get into the basic points. So if you want to ask, please wait till afterwards. Unless you just, you know, you can't understand the words I'm saying, prefer to leave the, you know, your lumber sakashas, leave for afterwards, okay? So the issue is, just to give you a background to where the issue started, the issue, the Star K came up with this idea together with Mr. Attensasser, who is a from engineer, and together with some other companies. They came up with this idea with what was called the Sabbath mode. Now, the Sabbath mode went through a few stages of creation. The first stage of creation of the Sabbath mode was basically what was called a Sabbath mode, because many ovens were starting with this automatic shutoff after 12 hours. And that's a big problem when you have a Friday night, you know, in the winter, you set up your cholent and you put it into the oven, you know, nice oven cooked cholent, you know, and after 12 hours at 3 o'clock, you put it up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, every Shabbos afternoon at 4 o'clock in the morning goes off, it's a problem. So they created an override. And somebody came along and said, okay, we'll call this Sabbath mode, because this, and then you press a button because it says Sabbath, it doesn't turn off. That was the first thing, when that's correctly termed the Sabbath mode. Then they came along, let's advance and see if we can do something about Yom Tov. Now, on Yom Tov, to change the temperature of the oven on Yom Tov to go higher and lower is a problematic issue, dealing with an electric oven. There's changes of circuitry, etc., which would prohibit a person from raising or lowering the temperature. So they came up with the question, can we possibly find a way, halachically, to create something which would allow us to raise or lower the temperature. So they came up with basically there's two or three areas which you have to address. The first area you have to address was a very simple thing, was that the readout would change, and you have a problem with is that some form of a co-save. You're making this readout, say 250, 275, 300, right? So we need to address the readout. So that's pretty easy. They have a switch inside there. When you press the button, the readout doesn't change. Anymore. It says Sabbath mode, and it stays Sabbath mode the rest of the time. And obviously, you need to tell us, I mean, now we don't know what the temperature is, so the system which was set up was that you set it at whatever temperature you want to set it at, and each time you hit the button, it goes up automatically 25 degrees. So you hit it four times, it goes up 100 degrees, right? And that would be the way to raise the temperature. And they also have a way to lower the temperature. You have another thing you can hit, and it'll go down, again, without changing any readouts. You have to keep your calculation. You know, if the husband comes in and puts it down, and then the wife comes and puts it down, you're going to have a problem, you know? That's obviously an issue. That's the easy one. Now, but the real issue was, are you allowed to raise the temperature or lower the temperature? So we have two issues. One issue we have is we're changing electrical circuitry. And is that a problem? And we're increasing or lowering heat on Yom Tov. Now, increasing heat on Yom Tov for the purpose of cooking, that's mutter. You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. You're allowed to make a fire on Yom Tov. You can't make a new fire, but you can extend an old fire. So that's not a problem. So increasing the heat wasn't the problem. Putting out a fire is a problem in halacha. You can't put out a fire for the purpose of cooking unless there's no other solution on Yom Tov. You can't cook it any other way. It's burning and you have no other place to put it. But raising the fire is not a problem. Maybe even lowering it, as long as you're not putting it out, maybe there's an argument, as long as it's not an actual gas oven, maybe we could argue that's okay. The real problem was the electric circuitry. So they came up with the following idea. We're going to do it through a grumma. And since we have a Sigma Gomorrah, the Morris says over here in Shabbos, is that Grama.
Sorry,
yes.
I'm trying to ask Columbus. The putting it down, unless it's a gas oven, I don't
know. Gas could be actual putting out, making a larger fire smaller is a problem in halacha. Right? Okay. So by gas, you're going to make it larger fire to lower fire. It's problematic. There's chuvas about Ramosh, about I'm not going to go there. You know, But electricity, there's no larger fire, smaller fire, that's not the issue.
So the more circuit, less circuit doesn't translate into more fire, even though it translates into
more heat or less heat, but it's not an actual thing, if you don't have anything which is actually glowing and producing the heat, which is the lower temperatures you're talking about, usually you're talking about, you're not going to see this red glowing thing necessarily, so you're probably okay. The issue was the changing of the electric circuitry. So they came up with this idea, we're going to do it through a grumma. Now, the way I understand the grumma, the way it works like this, is the person presses the button, you know, let's press it once. Let's say before Yom Tov, he sets the oven at 250. Okay, he wants to raise it to 275. He presses the button one time, and it goes up to 275. So when you press that button, nothing happens. What happens is that it's programmed that nothing will happen immediately. There'll be a time lapse before anything happens, A. B, the time lapse will be done based on an algorithm. It'll be random, how long that time lapse will be. So there's no clear connection between your action and the actual raising of the temperature, because your action sets in motion something which eventually, some point in time, will make it move greater, not under your control. So they did, by adding this fact that it's not immediate and it's random, they felt that would consider it a grum. Now, the question was, well, but there is something which happening immediately. Obviously, this computer chip is making this process of making this algorithm make it go up. So then the second half of the argument was, we find in the various places in halacha, there's actually nothing which is visible. So a change which you did something which is not visible in any way, shape, or form, it has not performed anything, it's not visible in any way, shape, or form, the circuitry is taking place in a microscopic way, which you're not going to, there's this little, you know, binary thing inside there, and the, you know, nanometer size, you know, saying one or zero, you know, right? So that's not considered something significant in halacha. That was the argument which they came up with, Rabbi Heinemann's argument. Okay, so this was the idea, a great idea. And then once one company, you know, got on the bandwagon, so the competition is competition, you can go to the Starkey website, and there's a slew of about 15 companies now which have Sabbath modes, which you can, you know, and they tell you which models are real, which models are not real. Not all Sabbath modes are really Sabbath modes, you know, they let the buyer beware, etc.
The Sabbath mode is really Yom Tov mode.
It really means Yom Tov mode. So it was called Sabbath mode, but really you cannot use it, it doesn't help you on Shabbos at all. You can't use this on Shabbos because you can't change your fire on Shabbos, even though you're a grum. This over here was, you can't do cooking on Yom Tov. That's not on Shabbos. This issue was on Yom Tov, and it left with the name Sabbath mode because that's how it started. That's how the thing started. The question now became, now that we've set up the system, this is what it does, is it still called a grum? In other words, if I have something which the nature of the system, this is how it always works, this becomes now the normal process, is that called grum? Is grum something which is only true if it happens occasionally? But if every time I use this thing, is this called grum or not called grum? And the starting point is these two gemaras which are dealing with over here. Okay, so the two gemaras that you saw, hopefully, the first gemara, the more in Masechta Shabbos, the more introduces the idea of grum in regards to putting out a fire. Now, it's brought down in Allah and Simon Shin Lamed Daled, a person has a fire on Shabbos, you're allowed to do grum to put out the fire, which we pass on like a chachamim, a person can make this barrier with jugs which have water inside of them, even though the jugs will burst, and the Lashon of the Rambam is, it will definitely burst, it's Vadai. You know it's going to burst, you know it's going to put the fire out, it's not even a question, it's called, since it's not happening immediately, you put it over there, fire's over here, the fire will get there, will heat up the jug, cause the jug to burst, the water will come out and put out the fire. Mutter. The Ramah adds, it's only Mutter, but Mokam Hefsit. He brings this from the Mordechai, brings in the name of Rabbeinu Yoel, that this is only Mutter B'Makom Hefsek. In the case of the lake, there's a fire, so we're worried about this person's items burning, his house burning, etc. So we're Mater Gram Kibui for Makom Hefsek. Now many Rishonim argue on this Mordechai and say you don't need Gram, you don't need Hefsek. Gram Kibui is Mutter. Like the Mor says later further down the page. The Mor says, by Shabbos, it says, Lois Sasa, Kol Malacha. The Yisr is Asiya, not Gram. Asiya is also grum is mutter. So mikra din grum is mutter. And even mitar bonon grum seems to be mutter. Yes.
Isn't this kibbutz or a bonon? Because you don't want charcoal. You don't protect your hair.
So that's a fair question. That's a lomdish question that you're asking me. Okay.
The question was that for
kibbutz to be considered the rice, so you have to do it to want the charcoal, like you say in Bama Malika. If you don't want the charcoal, it's not kibbutz the rice. So that was the question. So the Ron asked the question. The Ron gives an answer that Malachos and Sichla Gufa, we deal with like a deraisa. Since it's the only question of why you want it, we don't get involved in, we deal with that like a deraisa. That's how the Ron answers. There's an argument. Does the Ron mean any Malacha like that? Or he means specifically by case of a fire, which the whole thing, you're a little bit overwhelmed with the fire anyway. We're not going to say, you know, focus this way. Don't think that way. You know, it's not a good time while the guy is dealing with a fire, right? Or is that a general statement? The Shulchan Aruch Rav speaks about that. That maybe is it a cross the board statement or not? What are the Ron is saying? But Malachos and Sichla Gufa, we deal with like a derais. So that's what the Ron answers. Okay, so it's a grama, and therefore since it's a grama, the Mor says it's mutter, and the Mor says the bottom of the Amid. The same about the case of a person has a shame Hashem written on his pen on his body. And he wants to go into the water to go to the mikveh, and he has a purpose to go to the mikveh. The Mor says the mikveh that it's mutter, because it says lo sasum kein, you cannot do. There's an issur of asiya. You can destroy the names of avodah zarah. You cannot destroy the name of Hashem. You cannot actively do it. Asiya grama is mutter, so grama seems to be mutter. So if a person does something indirectly, that's okay. The question which comes up is the Gemara in Baba Kama. The Gemara in Baba Kama, now we know by, let's say, the Gemara is by Nezikin, right, when it comes to torts, what the person has to pay for damages, the Lach is that a Grama is Potter. So we have that right now, Shabbos and it's Aser, but it's Aser, but it's Potter. So Nezikin is Aser, Shabbos is Mutter, Nezikin is also Potter. I get to Gemara in Baba Kama, and the Gemara in Baba Kama discusses a question where a person is making a fire, and then this fire is going to go out and go to cause damages. Now, every case of Eish, which works, we know Eish works, the fire spreads, the wind spreads, and he's chayav for Eish. But the Gemara says, even though he's chayav for the Eish, even though the wind spreads it, which is really not his direct action, it has to be that he made the fire. He made the fire, then the wind spreads it, he's responsible, because like, that becomes like his animal is out there going out and doing things, right? But he has to make the fire. So if the wind helps him make the fire, he's not chayav. The Gemara says, but by Shabbos, we know there's a case where the wind helps, and you are chayav. And that's the case of a person does the act of winnowing. How does a person winnow? He takes you thresh it, and now you have this pile that you've broken off the kernel from the shaft, which it's attached to. Now you have shaft, and you have the kernel. But you need to separate them. So how do you separate? You take your pitchfork, you throw it into the wind. The wind blows away the shaft, which is light. The kernel falls down, and you've done a form of borer through the wind. So the Gemara says, what's the difference between borer and zore? Because borer you do by hand, merakah you do with a sifter, and zore you do with the wind. Well, why are you chayav? It's the wind doing it, it's not you. The Gemara says, the Gemara goes through a series of answers to answer the question. And the final answer, which is the way we paskin, is Shabbos is different. How is Shabbos different? Since melechas b'chavos asur Torah, and that's what you want to accomplish, you're chayav. Which means, even though by Nezikin, this case is not going to be chayav, because it's not considered your action. By Shabbos, it is considered your action, because you want to use the wind to accomplish it. It's called you did it. So now we have, we had before, Grama by Nezikin is Aser, by Shabbos is Mutter. Now we're telling you the opposite. By Nezikin, it's Potter, by Shabbos, it's chayav. So it's a theorem, between the two Gemaras. So how do you answer this theorem? So the Rosh, there right away seems to say that this is specifically by the malacha of the Zohar. We learned all the malachas from the Mishkan. There are Lama test malachas. We know based on a pasuk actually in this week's parsha, it says Eila hadavarim. So some beginning parsha by Yaakov. Eila is gematria 36. Aleph lamed hey 36. Devarim is 2 plural and hey an extra hey adds one more 39. There's 39 malachas. So you know there's 39 malachas. And one of the 39 malachas is Zohar, and that's how they did it in the Mishkan. So, it's a special, the halakha, that's what he done in the Mishkan, it's not applicable to anywhere else, it's not a kasha. It's a special halakha by Zohar, winnowing with the wind. End of conversation. Good. But otherwise, the rule is, Grama is pot. That's how the Rosh seems to say here in Masechtas Baba Kama, that's on page 6 of your packets. So that Rosh over there is important Rosh. The Rosh says it's specifically by Zohar. And there are Acharonim, which in Rebina, etc., which follow. This is the answer of the Rosh. So that's the difference between the two Gemaras. There's Rebbeinu Chananel, which says not like that. Rebbeinu Chananel is actually in Masechta Shabbos on Kuf Chaf Amud Beis, which is on page 4 of your packet, and down underlined towards the bottom. It's very a little bit difficult to read the actual language of Rebbeinu Chananel because it's a little fuzzy. But he deals with the Gemara right before the two dots. You know, we're quoting the Gemara lower in the page. The Gemara says, Grama is Mutter. But there's a Gemara right before the two dots. The Gemara discusses a case where a person is going to open the door where there's a Madura, there's your fireplace. You open the door, and the wind's going to come in, and it's going to increase the flames. Because the wind is going to whip up the flames. The Gemara says, you can't do that. So the Ben Chanan says, why can't you do that? Well, because that's the Gemara in Baba Kama. The Gemara says, we pass on like Ravashi, that you use the wind to accomplish something is called your chayiv. So the Gemara says, you can't even open it with the Ruach Matsuya, which is an average wind which will not increase the flames, because Xeri, you might open it when there's a strong wind. The strong wind will come in and fan the flames, and you have done the malacha of Havora, of making a fire. Now, he's not differentiating between Zohar, which is a special way it was done in the Mishkan, to everything else. He's saying that he's applying it. The Gemara Baba Kama Daf Samech, which is talking about Zohre, to the malacha of Havora, making a fire. That's how the Berachan understands the Gemara before, which the truth is, it's a good point. What's the problem with that Gemara before? It's through the wind. According to the Rosh, how do you understand the Gemara before the two dots? What's the problem over there? It's not you doing it. So maybe it's also midrabbanan. So Abaye is making a gzeira. You can't do ruach she'enem ruach mitzuyah, which is the average in which doesn't do it, because you might do it with a greater wind, which is a problem, which is also midrabbanan. It's gzeira l'gzeira. So you can't really understand the Gemara. The Gemara before to that. So the Gemara says you can't open this your door near a fire because it's going to increase the fire. It has to be an issue with the rice. Otherwise, why would you make a gezeira? So the Reno Chananel's point is a very well taken point, and the rush is difficult to understand. If that's how you understand the rush, it's a difficulty understanding the rush. Okay, so what we're left with is and maybe a different approach to understand according to the Reno Chananel. How do we understand the two Gemaras that they're different? Now the question really isn't from Baba Kama Samach to Shabbos Kuchav Mabeis. The Gemara is Shabbos Kuchav Mabeis before the Turatz, Shabbos Kuchav Mabeis after the Turatz. The Gemara says before, well, the wind, that's Yechaya for. The Gemara says, yeah, the water, oh, that's okay. What's the difference? Why is one a problem and one not a problem? It's not, you know, again, it's not Baba Kama anymore. Now the problem is the top of the middle of the page and the bottom of the page. Right? So how do you understand the two Gemaras? And that's the problem which the Chachamim grapple with to differentiate, and the Nafka Mina, which they're going, depending on how they answer that question, will have tremendous ramifications. Okay, so the Achiezer has a tshuva, Rabbi Moshe Grodzinski has a tshuva, where he's dealing with electricity, and one of the arguments which electricity first came out is that it's a grama. So on Yom Tov, at least grama havar is mutter, like, you know, so it's, you don't put on the light, you know, flip the switch, and then the electricity goes through, it turns on the lights, it's like a grama, so it should be mutter. And there are many people, you know, rabbonim, which are arguing this argument. So Chaim Berzer comes out very strong that that's not correct. And that's not how you understand it. So his first argument is this is greater than a grama. Just want to tell you, because it's really not our sugya right now. I just want to mention it. He says, where's the argument come? Because there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara Sanhedrin talks about the, you know, one thing, maybe just we'll give a share just about electricity. That really deserves its own topic. But just very quickly, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says a case where a person does an act of ritzicha, drowning somebody through a grama. He's potter. So the Gemara is like this. So you take the guy, tie him up. Right? No, wait. Somebody takes the guy, ties him up, and there's a dam of water. There's water behind the dam, ties the guy up in front of the dam, you know. And of course, there's a videographer watching this, of course, like, because that's the movie, right? Then you take away the dam and the water drowns it, right? You take the guy, you tie him up, put him in front of the train runs him over, right? That's the modern version of it. So Morris says the water drowns him. So if the first whoosh of water comes out, drowns him, he's chayav. Because his act of taking away the dam, that first whoosh comes over the guy, drowns him. That's called, it's like he threw the water on him. By pulling away the dam, it's like he threw the water. But if that doesn't drown him, the water further up the stream, and finally, eventually, he didn't do that. Not directly. Right? You know, he took away the dam, therefore water flows, kill the guy, so he's pot. So they argue, this is the same thing. He says, it's not the same thing. What would be a case like this? The guy's over here, the water's flowing this way, and the guy's over here. So the fellow comes along, he makes an aqueduct to where the guy is. And then the water flows through the aqueduct and kills him. So that's every single ounce of water which is flowing, that's called his action, put it there. So that's a different story. So he says over here, it's not just we're taking away. There's this electricity ready to go, and there's this blockage. I take away the blockage, and electricity flows through. So the second action is not my responsibility. Right? You know, whatever's immediate, so you want to argue it's not immediate, whatever, you know. So that's not true. You create this bridge which allows the electricity to flow to get there. There's a gap where the electricity can't go over, and you put the little metal piece in place. When your switch is off, there's a gap in the circuit. You close the gap in the circuit, allowing electricity to flow. So you, in a certain sense, create the path to allow the electricity to flow. That's a different story.
What's the difference between the aqueduct and the water that's not from that first?
We're going to talk about the share about electricity. We'll talk about it. Okay. It's a fascinating sugya. It deserves its own conversation. But then he says, you know what? But let's talk about, even if you tell me that's a grama, but I have the sugya of Zara of Ruch Masayato. If that's how this is how I normally use it and I normally do it, that's called my Maisa. So grama's not going to help you over here. Even if you're right that it's a grama, it wouldn't help because it goes into the Gemara and Baba Kama of Zara of Ruch Masayato. The Gemara in Shabbos says grama is mutter. So he gives... He gives a few approaches. The first approach he says is the rush. He says, with the rush, you see that many Achronim go not like the rush. And one of the examples he gives is the Evan Ha'ezer. So in the packet, you have the Evan Ha'ezer. It's on page 8. The Eben Ezra was dealing with the following question. There's a Magen Avraham in Siman Reish Nun Beis. The Magen Avraham has a case where there is a Rechaim Shamayim. You have a water wheel which is using to grind, to move the millstones and grind the wheat. The person puts wheat in the hopper. Now the wheat goes down and grinds it. Is that called a malacha the rice or not? Obviously, we're not going to do it either way. Osim Rabbanan. He says, well, the difference is when it comes to Amir La'akum, when it comes to telling the goy, you're dealing with the rice, dealing with the Rabbanan. If I tell the guy before Shabbos and I hire him as a miller, so I'm not really, he's not really working for me. But there's a Maris Ayin if I come nearby to what, make sure he's doing the right thing. You know, well, what's the Maris Ayin? The rice or the Rabbanan? So that's the question the Magen Rambam is dealing with. He says, well, even if you put it in the rice, it wouldn't, it's nothing. Because you didn't do it. The water did it. The Eben Ezer disagrees and says, what do you mean you didn't do it? That's like the Zohar Baruch and Sayata. The water is turning this millstone, which is grinding the wheat. So that, says, you're going to tell me that. So that's what he says. That's his basic point. And he draws a parallel to a case. A person takes a leech, which does the malach of chovel, takes blood out of somebody. So a person puts a leech in somebody. Say if it's a case, they used to believe, you know, leeches was a form of healing somebody. Say if it's a person who's a kol sheyesh b'sakana, his life is in danger, and this is how you feel you're going to heal him, fine. But it's kol sheyesh b'sakana, his life is not threatened. But you can't do malach of the raisa. It's called malach of the raisa, putting a leech there. So that's the discussion which he's talking about, really. That's where his starting point is, the case of a leech. So he discusses that I think it's a problem based on this idea of Zerva Ruch Masayate. So Chaim Mercer says, but how do you do it? First, the Rosh is not like that. So it says, what's Shatnu Mor? The Mor says, Malechas Machshavas HaSatara. They're saying it doesn't mean Malechas Machshavas specifically Zora, because the Mor, Mehemet Zora, would have said, Karchi Darko Shom Malechas Zu. Wouldn't say Malechas Machshavas. That's not the point. It means any time you want this to happen, and this is how you're setting it up to do, you're going to be Chai. All right, the Gemara over here. So you have to tell me something which is set up to function normally, or it happens b'mikra. The case of the Gemara over here was, you know, you don't normally put out fires by putting jugs like over there. When the fire gets there, it'll heat it up, it'll burst. That's not how you put out fire. You take water and you put out a fire, right? Well, how do you grind? You grind with rechaim shamayim. That's another way to grind. How do you take out blood? Leeches are normal. That's the way. If this becomes now the normal system, how you do it, that's not called a grum anymore. That's called malachas mashevas asatara. So the Rukhaim Rosh says, in the case of electricity, even if you argue it's called a grum, it's not a grum because malachas mashevas asatara. This is how electricity is used. So it will not be considered a grum. Therefore, this argument, which these people say, is incorrect. Then he brings from the Yeshua's Yaakov's grandson. A lot of interesting biographical information about him, but I don't have time for that. Rosh Yaakov says the difference is whether you're mechaven or not. The difference is, you know, if your intent is X should happen, and that's why you're doing it, intent that X should happen, that's called melechas machshavas asatara. Over here, the guy really would like the fire shouldn't get there. The fire should go out before that. He has no interest in the fire putting out fires. That's just the case. The fire gets there, he would like this to happen. So he's not really mechaven 100% for that to happen. That's how he answers it. But whereas a case where you're mechaven that this should happen, That's called Malachas Mashavas Asutara, and it's considered your Maisim B'chayv. Again, electricity would be an issue. Then he says, there's clearly more is that not all Gromas are the same. Basically, there's a Tosis of Memzayim Abayis. Tosis of Memzayim Abayis differentiates between a case where the water is in the jug, and there's two parts of the process. First, the jug has to burst, and the water has to come out. In the case where a person would put water directly on the item which is burning, that when the fire gets to the water will put out, won't smother, but actually put out the fire. That's problematic according to Tosis. Because there's a Gemara in Daf Mem Zayin talks about a case, can I put a container of water next to my nair, which is to catch the sparks? So it says, the Gemara said, you can't put it there because you're afraid of Shabbos. If you move it up, when the sparks will come down, it's called you put it out. I didn't put it out. The water put it out. I was just holding the water. He says, no, because over there it's going to act up. There's no mechitza between the water and the fire.
On Shabbos or before?
You can't do it from before Shabbos because you might do it on Shabbos, and you do it on Shabbos, there's a problem. You consider the malacha. What's the malacha? It's only groma. So he says, if a person would put, since it would go directly into the water, that's a problem. That's not called groma. That's called that you set up the system that it should go out. This is how Tosis says. So he says, so again, you can differentiate between the Gemaras where it's direct. There's not all Gemaras are called Gemara. Some Gemaras are considered more direct than others. And that's basically the answer that he gives. Rabbi Zalman gives an answer which is similar, he says, the difference is, if it's, is it there, it's just, this is a normal way. How do you normally do kibui? How do you normally do mechika? A person wants to rub off and rubs off something, erase something. You stick your arm in water, I mean, you rub it off. That's how you normally do it. So there's nothing on a normal way. The Avinezer says, the difference is whether it's a psik reisha or not, if it's definitely going to happen or not. If it's definitely going to happen, that's called, you set up the system that's going to happen. You're doing it. If it's not definitely going to happen, then we can call it a groma. Again, it's indirect, and it's not definitely going to happen, that's called a groma. Even though it's indirect, if it's definitely going to happen, it's not a groma anymore. That's now how it works. And that's going to be a problem. The Chazon Ish argues that the difference is between whether if this is something which is usually requires outside help or not. So Zara requires outside help. You Rechayim, we do grinding nowadays through outside help. You could argue Bishul. Bishul is a fascinating malacha. Person takes a dough, sticks it in the oven, and the oven bakes it. He didn't bake it, the oven baked it. Why is he chayim? It's because he's using the oven to make it happen. Why is that a grama? Because that's how it works. Seder. Person sets a trap, and the trap catches the animal. That's a normal way of doing Seder. Now, you can do Seder by jumping on the animal also, but it's not called abnormal for a person to do Seder by setting a trap and catching it. And therefore, Tosfos says, and Daf Yud Zayin, if a person sets up a trap and the trap catches the animal, he's going to be chayiv. That's called, he did Seder on Shabbos by setting up the trap. Now, it's not so easy to learn Tosfos like that. The Tosfos is not so clear, that's what he means, but that's how he explains it. Shlomo Zalman himself, and they say he has a Seder called Morei Or, which he put out, Morei Eish, he put out in 1934, when he was 24 years old, when he put it out. And he dealt with a long kuntras dealing with whether fire is derisa, whether electricity is derisa derabanan, this is it a grum or not. And he has put out this, it's been reprinted now, it went from being an 85-page kuntras to being a 700-page, two-volume sefer. That's fascinating how they did that. But it was put up by his son, so it's the ones, so they at least... So he differentiates in, does it happen immediately or not? Is there a time lapse or not? And that's how he differentiates between the two of them. So now getting back to the Sabbath mode, you're definitely setting up the system to work like this, right? So the system is, you're mechavan for it, so according to Yeshua's Yaakov, you're mechavan for this, and it's a secretion, it's definitely going to happen. But it's not miyat, it's not immediate. Is it derech to do it like this? It's hard to know, because maybe you could argue this argument. It's not really derech to use this algorithm. You just press the button. On the other hand, again, maybe you could argue the fact that it's not nicker, so it's not nicker to your disadvantage. As far as you know, you're using your oven in a normal way. This is how the oven works. So these are going to be the issues. So there's a letter all the way at the back over there, the last page of the packet. There's a letter from Rav Chaim Oizer to the Chazon Ish. And in that letter, the issue was setting up, one of the major problems they have when they moved to Eretz Yisrael, and the Chazon Ish came into Eretz Yisrael, was dealing with the problem of milking cows. There was a lot of Jewish farmers, it was a brand new issue, Baruch Hashem, Jewish farmers, etc. Wasn't very common back in Europe. They didn't know land, most Jews. So Eretz Yisrael, what do you do with milking on Shabbos? So the good old days, you milked by hands, you held one, you had your goats, which you gave your milk, and that was about it. My sugar had her cow, used to give milk, So on Shabbos, you can't milk it. It's malacha the rice to milk a cow to get the milk on Shabbos. Because of the tzar of the animal, you're allowed to milk it directly onto the ground and not use the liquid. So that's mutter. But, that's very nice when you have one cow. You have a dairy farm. It's a little bit difficult to do that by hand. During the week, you have hundreds of cows, and you can't do that. And we're going to hire 100 people to come and milk the cows by hand. So you want to use the system. What can you do with the system? So Chazon Ish felt the systems which are set up, grommas, etc., don't work, because now that you set it up, that becomes now the malacha. Rav Chaim Oizer agrees with the Chazon Ish in this letter. He felt that was considered problematic. So any system that you set up, that becomes now how the system works. Even though you did it like a gromma, it's no longer mutter. So I'm sure all of you heard of the gromma switch, and they had this idea that Mechon Somet in Eretz Yisrael came up with the idea of a gromma switch to mimata doing certain malachas on Shabbos. And the gromma switch basically works on the idea that it's a photovoltaic cell, or electric cell, which shines on something and makes this connection. But there's a blockage. So you press the button, and it pulls away the blockage, the light shines on it, turns on the circuit. Not only that, when you push the button, it doesn't even move away immediately. There's a time lapse, then it moves away, the light shines, turns on the circuit. So you're not directly turning on the circuit, you're pressing the button, takes away the thing, which pulls it away, light shines, turns on the circuit. Grumma. So a lot of Gedolim were not comfortable with it because of this problem. Is this considered grumma now that you set up the system to work like that? And this is the argument which is out there. So I'm not telling you local Lamaisa, you can ask your local Orthodox rabbi. I'm not Orthodox, I guess. I'm local, I'm a rabbi, I'm not Orthodox. You know, how did I get myself out of the picture, right? I definitely have conservative views. So the Reb Heinemann, when you know, held it was mutter. There is some poskim here in America were uncomfortable with it. They took the argument to Eretz Yisrael, and Yashiv held it was a problem. Yashiv Shlita held it was a problem. Reb Heinemann went to Eretz Yisrael, and he was not able to get into Yashiv to discuss the issue with him. So, you know, it's hard to know what Yashiv actually held, because we're getting it secondhand, and that's a problem nowadays sometimes. But his final argument was that, you know, he gave a shiur about this, and he has a printed tshuva about it, which is available on the Starkey website. It's a 7-page tshuva, type tshuva, which he goes through why he holds it mutter. I gave you the basic points of what he said. So his final psak, when he gave a shiur after they came out with the issue, he said that he holds it mutter still. You know, he understands alumnus, isn't considered a grama. Again, which, you know, this is the pentayonis and the sugyas. Either it's considered a grama or not. But he's not going to pass it against, you know, against Rabbi Yashiv. So he's not going to change his position because of that. He still feels he feels this is the amos of the Torah. He's not going to change his position. But in regards to asking paskening, he's not passing against Rabbi Yashiv. It means he gave the shir, says, you know, he gave a whole shir explaining why he thinks he's right, etc. Says, but what should you do? You should follow the Gedolei Yisrael. That's at the end of the shir. Now, I'm not telling you what to do, but you should be aware that that's his position as of now. That's his position on the matter. So now, I know just one person asked him if he's coming. He said, well, he's not coming, can't make it. He said, but the person told him, I said, well, I don't want to come to the shir because I know what the psak is. Star K said, it's mutter. So I said, I'm not passing the shayla. I just want to understand the sugya, understand what the issues are. It's a beautiful sugya, and thank you all for coming.
And the ovens are still being manufactured, right?
What? The ovens are still being manufactured, and people are still using them. Right, so he's not taking away the heter, but he's not actively passing. It's an interesting situation. Now, I would like to ask you the following, if you could help us.